right. So this is the beginning of the Rolling Toe Show.
This is 22 minutes into it.
We're 22 minutes into the beginning of the Rolling Toe Show.
Yes, it was a long introduction. We've got
Cole and John and ourselves making Kevin Beckett, the owners of the MD Alignment Service, and the usual hosts of the Rolling Toe Show. Oh, John dropped off, so now it's just Cole. Cole's had a lot to say about fuel mileage. What do you have to say about your tire mileage?
Well, I normally use wide base singles, and we switched over for winter to the Grip D, which is the new Michelin tire.
That's
what they call the new XDN2 in the wide base single. And those ones last pretty well, but the fuel mileage isn't all that fantastic. But that's what we run through the winter.
Well, see, we don't care about fuel mileage. We care about tire mileage.
Good point. Tile mileage, okay.
Tire mileage.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So the X-Line D, is it the X-Line? No, it's the X-Line D2. No, sorry, it wouldn't be X-Line. It would be X1 D2. Or
the new one.
LED2. Yeah, the new fuel mileage tire. That one doesn't last all that long.
No.
It's, I mean, it does get really good fuel mileage, but it does not last all that long. I'd have to say maybe 150 to 180,000 miles in a tread position.
Is that for a 6x2 or a 6x4?
6x4. I have all 6x4.
Okay, so then the next question I got is, have you run the money calculation against the cost of the tire versus the fuel savings?
Yep. Yeah, we save about $7,000 a year.
After you deduct the tire costs?
No. Just $7,000 on fuel. So, well, that's the thing. The tires are about the same price, no matter which tire you go with.
The life of the tire changes your tire expense over a year or over a two-year period. So look at the increased tire cost versus the fuel savings to see if it's worth the effort.
Right.
Right.
That's always been our thing with fuel-efficient tires is that they never last as long. So what did you really save?
Right. So if you save $7,000 a year on fuel, you can buy a set of tires every year. And they last about a year and a half. 160,000 miles is about a year and a half. So I think it's worth it to run the LED2 in the summer. I don't really
Wait. You skipped a number on here. You didn't tell me what a set of tires costs.
Okay, about $4,000 for four of
them. Okay, so your net savings then is about $4,000 a year and a half on fuel savings versus your excess tire costs, right?
Well, I guess I haven't ran the, what I call the winter tire, which is the Grip. I haven't ran that constant. I always take it off. So I don't know what the mileage would be. It would probably be, let's just say it's double, 320. So if it's double, we're changing a tire every 3 years instead of every year and a half. But we're saving $7,000 on fuel over 1 year, right? So what's that over a year and a half? More than $7,000.
About 10.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry, guys. I might have that $7,000 was when I did the math. That might have been from duels. I might have that number a little backwards.
Okay. This is one of the things we encourage people. If you're looking at fuel mileage versus tire costs, you got to add them in together to find out what your net is.
Right.
Go
ahead.
Oh man, I can't figure out if I'm supposed to take that exit or not. I think I'm supposed to take this exit. My stupid Garmin is screwed up. I can't even read it. It's so dark. But
That's okay. You know, right, I'll save that for next week.
Now, we've been talking about your drive tires. How are your steer tires doing?
Really good. I switched over to the Z Plus, and let's see. We've had them on for over a year, And we do about 130,000 a year, and they still have a ton of tread. I don't have depth figured in, and I've trued them at least once or twice. I think I've trued them twice.
There's no color. Mm-hmm.
So that new Z Plus, I've been really impressed with that one.
Okay. Well, if you're at 130,000 miles, you still got lots of tread, you're doing good on tire life then. That's what we were concerned about. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
I would say they're going to last at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
260,000 miles. That's tire. Fabulous mileage.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been really impressed with that. The Z didn't last near as good. I seemed like I changed that every year and a half or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you historically go back and look at Michelin tires from when I started playing with trucks in the 80s, if we had a Michelin tire then that could get 70,000 miles on a steer axle before it had to be taken off, we were doing pretty good.
Wow.
And then they brought out a new tire, and it was able to go 120,000 miles. And I went, this is a great tire. I mean, you got the alignments right. We got everything right. Now we're getting 120,000. That's an improvement in the tire. Then they brought out a new tire, and it only went to 135,000, but it was supposed to be more fuel efficient. Okay. Got a little improvement in tire life. I don't know what it did for fuel because it didn't care. Then they brought out another one. Now this one was 170,000 mile tire. Okay. And then the next ones came out and we were at 250,000 miles. So we have progressively been seeing improvements in steer tire life over time. Now I'm not saying there weren't missteps in between, because there were tires that were brought out in between those that had a degradation in tire life. Okay. Oops, that was a mistake. Get rid of that one. Bring us out another one. Now we're stepping back up again. And that same pattern is true through all of the tire brands.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been pretty impressed with the Michelin brand so far anyway. I mean, and I've been really impressed with your guys' system. You know, I normally use Steven with a laser line out of Salt Lake. Well, he's actually out of Tooele, Utah.
Yep. Yep.
He's been great. I take every one of my new trucks to him.
Cool.
Gets it done in no time and does a phenomenal job.
Good. Good.
But yeah, I've been really impressed with. I mean, it like you guys always say, you take a truck that, you know, hasn't had all that stuff done, and then you go and get it adjusted, and it's amazing.
It changes it completely. Yes. And that was the goal.
So much better. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you say, tires last longer. It drives better. It's more fun to drive because it's not all over the road. And you, I struggled so bad. Like, you take it to a regular tire shop to get an alignment, and I swear it comes out worse than it went in.
Yes.
And they have no, like, they don't tell you what they did. They, you know, it's like, yeah, it's just not even worth taking it in there.
Years and years ago, when I first got out of the Army, I went to work at a Culligan water dealership in Southern California. And we had 2.5-ton trucks doing deliveries, residential and commercial deliveries around the northern San Diego County. And a truck would have to have something repaired. And across the street from us was a GMC truck dealership. We would take it over to the GMC truck dealership to have this thing fixed. And it would come back with more things wrong than it went in with. I finally got tired of it, drug my tools from home, and started repairing the trucks myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big problem. I mean, I've seen that owning trucks where sometimes the experts that are supposed to fix your truck, they cause more problems than they fix, or they don't fix the problems that they're supposed to. So yeah, it's nice to find shops, you know, that can do things the right way. And Steven, he mainly does alignments, and he's mobile. So it's very quick and easy. You know, you just call him and he can meet you wherever.
Right.
But he's also done bushing change outs and things like that. I think he doesn't necessarily try to do that because it takes a lot of time, and mainly trying to do all his his, you know, his alignment customers. But
economically, alignments are more profitable than the repairs.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're straightforward, and you don't run into problems where when you're changing bushings out on rusted trucks, it can be
And I don't have to go buy parts, and I don't have to worry about a bushing for this model suspension. I just come and do an alignment. No big deal. Now, the problem with the dealership having trucks come back with more wrong than they went in with, or the problem never got fixed, is there a philosophical question? Did the guy fail to fix it because he's incompetent, or because he's got a boat payment to make and he needs the truck back in for more money? Which one would you prefer to believe?
Right. Yeah.
What makes it better?
We got any calls hanging on?
We do not have calls. Now, I suppose I need to make sure that everybody out there understands this is a call-in show.
It is.
And if you did have the call-in, the number is 855-950-3835. But that's for people that are actually listening. And I don't know how many people listen that aren't on the app. And on the app, all you got to do is push the button. So if anybody has any questions that they really needed answered regarding tire wear, handling, or the other, then they should be able to push the button. I don't have anything here that says that the calls are suspended or anything. So anybody with any questions should be able to get in.
And if they don't have any questions, then it doesn't matter.
Right. Now,
in the earlier discussion, you were talking about how the interlinked electronic systems can collapse and screw up your business and you can't get loads. The same thing happens to the airports, the airlines. Their system goes down. All our planes have to sit on the ground.
Yeah, you don't want a plane up in the air with that going on.
Fortunately, our alignment system has no electronics.
No. Not yet.
We will
have an app. But
the app isn't necessary to do the alignment. Forward.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Just come on, come out here, put a couple of D-cell or AA batteries in it, turn the lights on, and let's align this thing.
That's always been a real strength of ours as far as I'm concerned. I realize some people think of it as when they're shopping for alignment equipment, they want something with lots of electronics and buzzles and buzzers and whistles and buzzles.
Well, people have come to me. Now, I'm gonna throw some numbers out here. Our basic system retails for
$79.95.
$8,000. Currently. Okay. And people have said, can't you computerize this system? And I said, yes, I know exactly how to do it. I've researched it. I know the parts that it would take to do it. It's no problem. Well, why don't you? Well, first of all, it would increase the price of the system times 3. So now the 8,000 system is going to cost $24,000. Okay. Second of all, it's no more accurate than what I would be doing now.
Maybe less.
And third, it has more breakage. It's more sensitive. It's not durable as much as what I've got now. Mm-hmm. So I can't figure out the advantage other than the fact that I would make more money.
All right. Well, and it won't be faster.
No, it won't be faster.
Nope. So.
Nope.
Yep. So that's one of the big deals with our system is that it's simple. We do have a call coming in. Cole, are you hanging on with us? Or
you got to go somewhere?
What's that? What's that?
Oh, I got to make a delivery. So if you got calls coming in, I'll drop off. I had a problem with a truck a while ago that we could kind of rehash that I was talking to Chad about. I never ended up getting the truck into him, though. It might be an interesting conversation to have, but.
And another
day. Oh, yeah.
You have a good day out there. Drive safe, huh?
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
We'll have you back soon.
You bet. Bye.
All right. So the ones in, these are some regulars, kind of. We got Shauna, and we'll start with her. Shauna. She was the first one in.
Shauna. Okay, Chad. I'll have to put my 2 cents in about the alignment equipment. This is above and beyond the best. The first year we were doing this, I had a guy that called that I'd known for years, owner-operator. He was a part-time mechanic at a previous carrier that I worked for, and he called to, we sent the tech out to do his alignment. He actually left me a voicemail on, this is like his third alignment in 2 years, and I used it in advertising for a while there, but he said he had just taken it to the TA up in Minnesota that they touted their $80,000 alignment rack, and it was going to be the best thing ever. And after We got done doing his alignment. His truck has never driven straighter or better, and he should have tipped the tech more money. So, especially, they touted their $80,000 alignment rack, and here we got our $8,000 alignment system, and just knowledge from you folks at MD Alignment, and that makes all the difference in the world. Really didn't have a lot, but I had a customer that, you guys always need your jokes for payment. So he gave me a joke and I thought, when they're coming in to get work done, I don't accept jokes for payment, unfortunately, but he had a pretty good one. And he said, he saw the news. This lady was going to cut off her husband's junk, but she missed and cut his thigh. So they charged her with a missed a wiener.
I like that.
I had to write it down because I am not a joke teller, and I thought, well, we'll call in next week, and I'm sure my customer is probably listening. So, that's all I got.
Well, hold on there, Sean. I've got a request from one of our new companies, a new customer down in New Orleans. He's always got problems with, he gets to a place, he's doing work, and now he's got a bolt he's got to cut off and he needs to replace the bolt, or he's got washers, he should short them, and he was wondering about a good kit for a typical assembly of bolts, washers, and shims that typically need.
I've got a shop and a whole lot of grade 8 bolts because we go through a lot depending on what kind of suspension rebuilds we're doing. And so I have the Fastenal guy come over here before I use GMS. But I would get, if he has questions on some of the ones that we use the most of, have him give me a call. I'll go through them. And if he has a local bolt guy that, if he just keeps so many... some of them I keep 16 because if I have two trucks in that week, I'm probably going to use 8 of each, and I can let him know what he needs. But that would be my advice.
What would happen if we got you to just text us your typical used inventory and we started putting together, talk to Chad and talk to others?
I'm going to talk to more people.
And put a standard thing together that we find most of our people have to use.
Right.
Yeah, I can do that.
That'd be
I'll
awesome.
Email it to Kevin. Yep.
All right. That'd be great.
All right. Have a great day.
You do the same.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, I told this guy, his name's Brett, that what I end up doing is I really don't carry many consumables at all.
Because you're working in a fleet location and you've got them.
Right. I'm mobile. I'm just doing the alignments. I'm not doing repairs as much as possible. So I really didn't carry much. And if they didn't have them on hand, well, we just had to wait. And I figured that was fine compared to paying for a bunch of consumables.
Right.
So, but if anybody else does have any layout, I think it would be worth it to put, for everybody to put together what they think is best. And we can...
And email it to us and we'll put together a standard kit.
We'll lay it out on LinkedIn and... Facebook and say this is what we think we typically need.
Cool. Okay.
All right. So now here we got another one here. This is a regular caller again. This is Paul. You've probably heard him. He's got an interesting accent, if I recall correctly.
I believe so.
It says it's a Tennessee accent. Hello, no. Paul.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
So I bought me some tools recently from Harbor Freight, and I've used them a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so when I put two wheels on, I had a tire blowout on Wednesday before Turkey Day. Well, I had a spare with me, but I needed to put two on, so I wasn't far from my house. I just drove home, and when I got home, I took the wheels off, chucked the tires in the back of the pickup truck, went into the Petro truck stop and had them mount the tires and then put them back on the next day. And then I changed the trailer tire out the day before yesterday. But I'm, you know, when you go to the tire shop and they use the impact gun and they put your lug nuts back on, and then some of them will get the torque wrench out and they go around, click, 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 click. Yeah, you're all good. Well, I've come to the conclusion that they're just wasting their time and my time, because I think more often than not, when they use the impact gun, they're going way past 500 pounds anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, and then look, you're correctly torqued. Well, I think more often than not, you're probably over-torqued, because my trailer wheel the other day, holy shit, it was well over 500 pounds, I'll guarantee it. So, but they think they're doing you a favor. Well, we torqued your lug nuts. Yeah, but you did them up to 700 pounds before you torqued them. So.
Right. And you stretch the threads and you pull the bolts. And,
Yeah. So I'm liking my new torque wrench that I got. And I left home yesterday and I drove a while and I was like, well, I'll get out there and re-torque my lug nuts. They only moved them.
Okay, so let me ask a question then.
Yep.
You're going to use your impact gun to run them up to a certain amount. And then you use a torque wrench to finish it off, right?
Yeah.
So how do you figure out how much to run it up with your impact gun?
At this stage, it's a bit of a guess, but the first time that I mounted wheels with the impact gun, I was like, well, I got no idea, so I just let it do a couple of ugga-duggas, and I thought, well, that'd be good. Well, that first time, I was thinking that first time I was probably only at 400 pounds, because when I stopped in the tire shop, they moved quite a bit. I'd done about 90 miles. Yeah. So then when I did it the other day, I went a few more, but every one that I torqued with the torque wrench, it still moved. So I guess the thermometer is pretty good.
Yeah. Now, did it move a quarter of a turn or a half a turn or an eighth of a turn on the nut when you put the torque wrench on?
Probably between an eighth and a quarter, every one.
Okay. Okay. If we can, now we're using a 3/4 gun or a half inch gun?
A 3/4.
Okay.
Battery.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Somehow, and that's the trick, is setting the gun so that when it reaches its torque limit, it's about where you want it in order to torque the nut. Mm-hmm. And if there's a way to set the gun for that, fine. If it's just you're guessing how many ugga-uggas, that's a little less precise. But like you said, it should move something when you put the torque wrench on it.
The Milwaukee says that it's got a torque range for each 1, 2, 3, or 4 setting on the electric gun.
So you learn your gun and figure out what the setting is.
Well, yeah. But it's a range. And of course, it's not precise because it's an impact.
Okay, well, let me give you another piece of something that a mechanic told me the other day that I hadn't even thought about. With an impact gun, you're getting pulses of torque, and then the hammer backs off in the gun and it pulses the torque again and pulses it again. He said his experience with U-bolts in particular and lug nut studs also is that the torque can pull the thread a little bit, and then when it comes off of it, it actually lets it back, and you're not at the torque you think you are with the gun. So he prefers to run it up partway with the gun and finish it with the torque wrench because it's a smooth pull instead of a pulse.
Yeah. Well, I'm learning. Yeah. So never too old to learn, but...
Oh, I am. I'm too old.
He's all done.
Carbon dating. Yeah.
There you go. Carbon dating. That's it.
But I'm pretty sure a lot of, particularly truck stops, they're exceeding the recommended port.
They're using a 1-inch gun with a great big half-inch hose, and they're torquing that sumbitch down.
Yeah, the training is Less than ideal.
That guy that weighs 280 pounds.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Okay, buddy.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call.
Well, give me your
All right. Exactly. Let's hear it.
So I'm not sure. You might have told this one. I'm not sure, but it was pretty good anyway. But
okay.
So there's a guy, old man, and he goes to the doctor for his physical checkup, and the doctor says, "We need a sperm sample so we can check to see if you're still all good." And he said, "So take this container home," and he says, "Get us a sample and bring it back." So he gets home. And he tries and tries, and he says, and he says to his wife, well, he tries his right hand and can't get it. Tries his left hand, still can't get it. Says to his wife, "I need help." She tries with her right hand. He tries with her left hand, still no, can't get it. So calls the neighbor. Neighbor comes over. She tried with her left hand. She tried with her right hand. Didn't get it. No sample. So he's back at the doctor, and he told the doctor what he'd done and everything. And he's like, "So you even brought the neighbor over?" He said, "Yeah, no one could get it, right hand or left hand. We just couldn't get the damn lid off the jar." So.
There you go. Yes, indeed. That's an old folks' problem.
Yeah. I'm not there.
Far out, man. All right. You have a good one, Paul. Drive safe.
Okay,
bye. All right. Okay, we still got a couple on here. The first one here we all know is Rocky. Hello, Rocky. We're doing
how are you guys? I'm good.
We're cold. We're very, very cold. It's the start of the day well below zero.
Wow.
So I hope you're enjoying the weather down there in northern Florida.
Well, we were 46 or so this morning here at the house about 6:30 this morning. It's warmed up a little bit with some little bit of rain showers around. So, but it hadn't been too bad here yet. But yeah, I just want to tell you, we didn't have any calls on there when I hit the button there. And then Shauna called in. I talked to her last night. We talked a little bit about the truck show and all that stuff coming up here soon. We'll be here pretty quick. But yeah, you guys were talking about the alignment equipment. I just got with another shop here in Jacksonville. They got Snyder Tire. They're all over the place, and they've been looking for somebody to do mobile because a lot of their customers are like, "Do you have anybody that can come to us?" So I met with them last week and set up now as a vendor too. So now I've about got all the tire shops in Jacksonville using me for stuff. Nice.
Very good.
And,
That's great news.
Yeah, so the new guy there in Louisiana, man, these guys are loving the mobile ability that we have with the Indy equipment. And it just makes it so nice for them, and it doesn't get driven to a shop and sit there for 3 days, and they might get to it, might not, and everything, where us being able to be mobile without having to carry that computer system around with you and set all that stuff up with every truck is just, it's crazy easy to use, and they're reliable and accurate. And when I was demonstrating to them, showing them on the truck they had there, how I get their measurements, their alignment guy that has been there using that one of the computer machines for years, he was like, "Man, it's really that simple." I was like, "Yeah, it's this simple." And he says, "Where do you learn all your stuff from?" We were talking about tires and all. And I said, "From the Becketts and experience and from them over the years, I listened to them and all that." So I told him, I said, "You need to go to the YouTube and stuff and go to the website and look around on there and watch some of the videos and all that." And he was like, "Man, I'm going to tonight. I'm putting that in my phone right now." So,
excellent.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that, the amount of people that want that computer printout when we can do what we do with our QCTs and the Tone Tandem and get the results that we get. So, I just wanted to say, hey, I know you've got some others in there and time's coming up here for 2:00, but I will also put together a little bit of a hardware list that I use Cool.
Oh, excellent.
And get to you. And I don't use a lot. Most of it's pretty, you know, it's the same stuff. A couple different lengths, 5/8 bolts and 3/4 and steel lock nuts and washers. But and get that to you. And then I think I've sent you that tool before that I use for the Volvos and Max with the 5/8 Allen with a 1/2-inch drive head on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That SK tool, yeah. I think I've sent you that because I know I talked to a lot of them. You're like, what do you do use to do that? So
I think you're the one that sent me that concave hammerhead for an air hammer.
Tie rod.
Loosen up the,
the tie rod. Yeah.
Loosen up the tie rod. That's really, really nice.
Yes, it is. It keeps it from rolling all around the plate, you know, all over with just a flat hammerhead. So some of those tools and stuff that some of us, so not everybody knows about them. And some of that stuff, you know, we run across and it works good. So we like to share it. And any of the other guys out there that have a specialty thing that they found that works good for something else, man, you know, let us know. So,
yeah. That's what I'm going to put in this email. I'll get together later today for the shops on our list. I had one other question here. Really, what I should have asked Shauna too, but what, real quick, what's the tire life improvement your typical customer gets from the before they went to you to after?
Probably average 50%.
50%
better. Yeah, I would say at least I get a bunch of them that call me back and say, hey, I got 270 on these and I need to replace them.
Wait a minute. It's 50% if you look at it from one direction. Is it 100% if you look at it from the other direction? In other words, was he getting, you said 270, was he getting 135,000 before and now he's getting 270? That's 100% improvement.
Or was it 200 and now it's 270?
I think one of them that I did with a Volvo was averaging around 110, 120. And he got 270 out of his last set. So he more than doubled. But I get a lot of the fleets that I get, the guys are tearing the tires up long before they wore out. Over stuff.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard to figure with all of them because them guys are just, you know, running over everything. They don't care.
You always have to keep your over-the-road guys separate from your regional and local guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the interstates are much softer on tires. That's another thing I could probably put together on maybe on the next email, is I want to know which, we hear about it all the time, my roads are this bad, but really how much lower does one group's local tire wear last than another? Because like Brett was talking about New Orleans, like they've made potholes in art, and that the swampy nature of New Orleans itself and the surrounding area is such that there's just no way to make a road that's going to stay flat.
Well, I understood in New Orleans they're stocking fish in their potholes now.
Stockfish, I bet. I bet. The DNR gets caught up. And,
okay.
But be careful because there's crocodiles.
That's where Paul's from, isn't it? Isn't that where he gets his accent from, southern Louisiana? He said Tennessee.
His Cajun, is that right? That's what a Cajun accent sounds like?
Yeah, Paul's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah, But yeah, so I think, you know, the regional stuff. Well, one thing I've been finding a lot lately is that these guys are going in to get tires and they don't know that they need the line haul tire and the shop is just throwing on a regional tire.
Yeah.
So I'll get the call. And I was like, oh, you got the wrong tire. Well, they just put them on 50,000 miles ago. I'm like, yeah, you put the wrong tire on. You need one with a decoupler groove.
Right.
And, so I get
need the premium tire because you're driving local. Why are they putting premium tires on you?
I put kingpins in a Coronado. I've aligned this truck several times in the past, but this about 72-year-old fella got his Coronado, and he had me check it out one day, and he needed a kingpin with had a little play in it, and he was like, let's just do them. I'll schedule it for next week. So we did it. And he had these Salins on there, but he had 156,000 tires out of a Salin, but he keeps his tire pressure at 130.
Yep.
You know, I had aligned it, and he would not have had to have changed them had he not had that kingpin play and had a wheel sealed on, and it was a little loose on the other side, but we took care of all that stuff. So he went and put another set of those on the steers. He was like, man, I got pretty good out of those. Mm-hmm. So
cost effectiveness is very important.
Right, right. And so he said, I'm going to put another set. And he did. And then he called me up. He was like, man, it drives perfect now. And I was like, oh, I'm glad that little vibration was gone. I think his thrust bearings were getting pretty worn and stuff too. So, yeah. So even the other tire, the off-brand tires, man, if everything is right, you can get the mileage out of them.
Yep. Right. Yep. And, we agree.
That's a big, big deal. You don't have to spend the top money to get the dollars that you're supposed to out of every mile.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Y'all have a good day.
We got one more here, and it's almost two.
Take your easy. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. And Mike, it sounds like Mike's getting hungry. So
I'm ready for a nap.
All right. Rocky checked out, and we got our last call coming in. This will be Michael, maybe from Michigan.
Hey, Kevin and Mike, how are you?
We're good. Yourself?
How are you?
Doing well. Just had a question about doing alignment on semi-trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more difficult or the same if it's a five-axle trailer versus a tandem-axle trailer?
Well, you're going to work
longer,
150% more labor.
Right.
Because there's more axles.
Right. More axles. But that's no big deal.
But the alignment is no big deal. I don't care how many axles are there.
Right.
The only trick will be, are any of those axles on the trailer steerable or are they all fixed?
Depends on the trailer. The last one could be and would be steerable, but now they're making these new five-axle trailers that they kind of glide, as they call them. They turn without power steering.
Right.
So I wanted to see if your guys' book would include information on doing alignments to...
No, that's such a specialty item that when you get into that, you're better... I'm just calling our tech line, and I'll talk you through it.
Right.
All right.
We'll put together something, I'm sure.
Well, for you, then, too. It's short and sweet.
Good. We need one.
What do you call a milkman's route?
A milkman's route?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Best way to put it is from the titty to the city.
So it's not farm to market. It's titty to city. All right. So if I see any cheesy roads in Texas now, I know what they are.
The titty to city road.
You guys have a great day.
You do the same, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Well, somebody else called in here. So we'll go ahead and take this from Illinois, 618.
Hello. 618. Hello. Yes, Mike, Kevin.
Yes, howdy.
How's it going? How's it going, fellas?
It's going pretty well.
Well, it's cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's fine.
Well, it's been so cold. It's been so cold here that some of the dogs have stuck to the hydrants out there.
That's quick. Yes. That quick.
Well, speaking of jokes, I got one for you.
Good.
What kind of ball does not bounce?
What kind of ball does not bounce?
A flat one. Not hearing it. I don't know.
A snowball.
Snowballs don't. Well, it depends on how cold it is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
if it's a solid ice snowball, it'll bounce right off my head.
A Philadelphia snowball with a battery in it.
There you go.
The ball.
Battery
bounces.
Yeah.
The battery would bounce.
Far out. Okay.
Far out.
All right.
All right, fellas.
All right.
I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving and everything. And
yes, sir. Everything was just chunky and busted.
Yeah, buddy.
We didn't have a turkey. We had chili and soup.
Well, we had turkey available on Thanksgiving. But
honestly,
Mike and I opted for the prime rib, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. We went out to eat.
Yep.
on Thanksgiving. The next day on Friday, we had the family get together, and then we had chili and soup.
Chili and soup. Really good homemade stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you.
All right,
so buddy. You have a good day.
Oh, it's all you too.
All righty.
All right.
Right.
So there was a, we had posed a question the week before Thanksgiving.
Yes. And you're supposed to send us answers.
Yes. I got no answers.
No answers. Well, then we won't worry about it.
I guess we won't worry about that one. So there's no answers to the question. Should we pose another question, or should we have done that at the beginning of the show so people are actually listening?
Eh, I haven't got a question formulated.
So we're going to formulate the question for next week. We will make the question next week and get the answer out the week before Christmas.
There you go.
I think that's right, right? Yes, that's right. So the next two podcasts, we'll put this together. All right. Well, that's it's been a great show. Had a great time. Talked to some wonderful people, and we'll be hearing from everybody next week, Thursday, same bat time.
Yeah, we have two more shows this year.
This year.
The 11th.
The last two shows of the year. Yep.
And then we're off on Christmas Day and we're off on New Year's Day.
Yep, that's right.
Two more weeks
to hear whatever we get to say for 2025.
Get your questions together and call in the next two Thursdays.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.